Matthew chapter number 7. And we're going to read there at verse number 24, and then we're going to James chapter number 1. Matthew 7 and 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." James chapter number 1 and verse number 21. James writes and he says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. Praise God. And I just want to preach for a little while here tonight. Forgetful hearers and diligent doers. Amen. Forgetful hearers and diligent doers. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. I am so very thankful for the Word of God. Amen. It is the Word of God that has brought us not only to this physical place here tonight, but to a mental place in our minds, because we have come to the conclusion mentally through decision that, first of all, we desire to be saved. And then, second of all, we feel like in believing the Bible that it is our roadmap, but it not just a roadmap, but it is our answer of how to be saved. And so because that we believe that, we are obedient to the things of God. We should be and ought to be obedient to the things of God. But there is one thing that we need to bear in mind, and that the Bible is not buffet style. And you know what buffet style means. That means that, you know, there is a pretty good buffet there in Aransas Pass called the Butter Churn. And it's just good old-fashioned cooking. It's home-fashioned cooking. And it's all grandma's recipes and such like that. And so you get to go through there, and everything is tremendous. I would believe that everything is tremendous, but I don't like everything because they have green stuff on that buffet. You know, like spinach and peas. Green beans. I don't like that stuff. So I don't get it. I just do the Pentecostal hickabo shy, pass them on by. And I go to the homemade baked yams with brown sugar and marshmallows on top. You know, and there's days they have fried catfish and shrimp. There's days that they have pork chops, fried chicken. Oh, I like their fried chicken too. I have never had anybody's chicken that tasted like my granny's chicken. But it does. It does. My uncle went down there and he ate. I said, now, doesn't this taste like granny's chicken? He said, you know, it does. Nobody's chicken ever tastes like granny's chicken. And it just does. And so they have fried chicken. They have ribs, brisket. They got all kinds of things. They have chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, gravy, mashed potatoes, hush puppies. It's things like that. I can talk like that because I eat before church, so I'm not even hungry. But you know what? There's a lot of things that I like, but I don't get everything because I like other things more. And I know that I can only eat so much. It took me a long time to come to that conclusion, but I have came to that conclusion. So, and even then I realized that I don't need to eat as much as I do. So, but anyways, you know, there are times that I pass the chicken fried steak up. Other times I get it. There's times I pass up the chicken fried chicken, but there's other times that I get it. And I can get some ribs, and I can get some brisket, and I can get some. But I'm just telling you right now, if they got fried chicken, I'm eating it. So, but anyways, but that's what we know as buffet style, and that's what the Word of God is not. The Word of God is not a buffet that you get to pick and choose what you like, what you don't like, what you want today, what you don't want today. I mean, how many times have you ever went to a buffet like that and you say, you know, today I just don't feel like fried shrimp. And so you passed it by. You like it, but you passed it by. I don't know. I just don't feel like that today. Or, you know, I mean, they got a pretty good salad, but I always pass that by. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, and then they have, you know, dessert. And they got, you know, ice cream and hot peach cobbler or hot cherry cobbler. Or they have, what's that one? Nah, we don't care for that. What's that one? That salad, that like Watergate salad. Watergate salad. That's a gelatin and marshmallows and stuff like that. Oh, I like that stuff. So I always got to have some of that. But there's days I just don't feel like ice cream, or there's days that I feel peach cobbler over cherry cobbler or something. And you just kind of got that Southern word, hankering. I just got a hankering. They said, what does that mean? I don't know. I just got this hankering for, you know, some ice cream and hot peach cobbler. And so, you know, and there's times that you want it and times that you don't want it. But it doesn't mean that you don't like it. And so the Word of God is not that. You don't get to pick and choose from the Word of God what you like or what you don't like, what you want today or what you don't want today. And a lot of times what you want today is what fits the situation. So, you know, I like eating chili when it's cold outside. Now, there's other people that can eat it when it's hot outside. I don't care for it. That doesn't mean I don't like it. It just simply means I don't have a hankering for it. But when it's cold, I like, I can't say soups because I don't care for soups. But it's got to be the right timing for me. And some things, it doesn't mean that I don't like it. It just means that I just don't want it now. I don't want it. It's summertime. We don't eat cold foods. You know, we don't eat, you know, foods that are supposed to be served in the wintertime, in the summertime and stuff. That's just me, all right? So, but that's not what the Word of God is. The Word of God is not like, well, you know what? My situations have changed, and so I don't want that part of the Word of God. Or, you know, my situation has changed, so I like this now, but I don't like this anymore. It is the entire Word that is going to save us. So in our text here tonight, we have a situation concerning a builder. As a matter of fact, we have two builders. We have two builders, and one is labeled a wise builder, and the other one is labeled a foolish builder. And the Bible said that the wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Now, don't go knocking that foolish man for building his house upon the sand. And that's what everybody begins to think. Oh, the wise man built his house upon the foolish man built his house upon the sand. What an idiot. I mean, who would build their house upon the sand? Sand is actually better than dirt. Because dirt swells and contracts with water, floods, and droughts. And that cracks your foundation and settles over time. Dirt responds to weather, climatic conditions. Cold, hot, wet, dry. Sand doesn't. Sand is what it is. And you can get a good foundation in sand. Say, no, there's absolutely no way. Well, go tell the whole Gulf Coast that. Because every one of their houses is built on the sand. And all of their commercial buildings is built on the sand. All up and down the Gulf Coast, from far south Texas all the way to far south Florida, it's built on the sand because that's all there is. They don't bring in dirt to do it. They build on the sand. And that sand can get as full of water as it wants to, and it doesn't swell. And it can be in the drought. It don't shrink and crack. So now, obviously, there are different types of sand, and so they do bring in the right type of sand for the situation. But the early diagnosis is that the foolish man's whole problem was that he built upon the sand. No, that's not exactly it. The problem is he didn't build like he was supposed to build. Okay? And so what we're saying is that the building inspector stated that this is the way we're going to build it. He chose to build it a different way. All right? So when the building inspector says, you are going to build with loam sand, which is going to have some clay and some other things in it, and it has to have this much percentage, and you just cannot have... they don't call it beach sand. They call it something else sand. You can't just have that because that's not going to work. So the problem here is that he did not build according to code. The Bible talks about those that build and put a wall together with untempered mortar. And they daubed it with untempered mortar. They put some stuff in there, but it wasn't the right stuff. And so you've got to build a building to code. Now, I've built so many buildings that I know that no matter where you are, there is a specific code that you have to build to. So if you're on the coast, say down in Aransas Pass, the code is that you've got to build according to 140 mile an hour winds. Now, that's just for the Aransas Pass, Rockport, Corpus area and stuff. That's what they've adopted. There's other places that you've got to build to a higher degree. In Florida, where Brother John's is, down in Miami, they actually have, I believe it's 170 mile an hour. That is minimum code. And so there's things that you have to do that. Building in Colorado, you had to build according to so much snow load and the poundage of snow load and such. So you had to build according to that. And there was all kinds of things. We had all kinds of inspections at all times. They had to come in and make sure that it was done correctly. And so this is what the wise man did. The wise man built according to the code. What was the code? Well, he tells us what the code is. He said that he is likened unto man that does the word of God, that not only hears, but he is a doer. He built according to code. And then the foolish man, it just simply says everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be like unto the foolish man that did not build according to the code. And so he knew the code. He knew the code, but he did not build according to the code. And the wise man knew the code, and he built according to the code. And so that was the difference. That is the difference in these two builders. And the old Sunday school song that they always sang, you know, is the wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Rains came down and the floods came up. Rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house upon the rock stood firm. And we know what the foolish man did. And the house upon the sand fell flat or went splat. And so this is what the Lord speaking. He says, I'm going to liken the word of God being unto a hearer that not only hears the word of God, but does the word of God. He is like a wise man. And for those that hear the word of God and do nothing about it, they are like the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And so there are the two opposites of things. And it's not really opposites. It's just simply that he did not do. And in not doing, there are eternal consequences. And that's what I really want to push here tonight. And this is what I really feel in my spirit tonight. And I felt this last night as I was praying. I felt an urgency, and I have been feeling the Lord has been dealing with me about some issues and about some things. And I've even had a couple of dreams that have bothered me. And so as a pastor, I know that being the watchman of the church and being the watchman of the soul, that I've got a responsibility. And I can neglect the responsibility, and I can go preach on prayer tonight, and I can preach about things like that tonight. But I feel such an urgency. And yes, I feel an urgency for this church. I feel an urgency for this people. But I so much even more feel it's just an urgency of time. It's an urgency of time. I really feel like we are living in the last days of time. We're living in the last days of time. And I just want to speak to you from my heart tonight. I'm going to preach here as we go along. But you know, the Bible teaches us that in the last days that there is a predominant spirit of lethargy that is going to be upon the church. having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I could take you to Matthew 24, and I could just show you the last days of Jesus, which is indicative of the last days of time. And the last days of Jesus, he said that in the last days that men's hearts would wax cold. That men's hearts would wax cold. And that they would profess with their mouth, but their hearts would be far from them. It's like they come to church, but they don't show up. They never checked in. They're here in body, but they're not here in spirit or in mind. They never checked in. And there is such a danger in that. Every church service is not only important, it is vital. And I understand that there's a lot of people that are not here tonight, and I'm not necessarily preaching to them tonight, but I want us to get an understanding of urgency upon us that we still ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I believe that we are getting to the point that we allow things way too easy to keep us out of the house of God. And it's all because we don't understand the signs of the time. We don't understand, amen, the times of the season, what's going on. And we think that it's just some little thing. It's just some little trivial thing. We think that, oh, you know what, it's okay. Sunday's on the way. Or, you know what, it's okay. Wednesday's on the way. You know, it's okay. It's just one service. And you don't understand the spirit that is behind that is influencing that. I think that we need to get an urgency and an understanding that every service matters. Every service matters. We ought not to be looking for what service that we can miss. And I'm not accusing of anybody of looking for a service that they can miss. I wanted to be here Sunday. And I was so miserable, I couldn't sit still, stand still, couldn't lay still, I couldn't do anything. And I told my wife, I said, you know what, I feel like I could go to church. I said, but I would be such a distraction. Because I can't stand up very long. I got to stand up and then I got to sit down. I can't sit down. I got to stand up. I got to lay down. I got to twist back and forth, turn over and stuff. I said, I'd be such a distraction. It would be absolutely worthless. Nobody would get anything because of me. And so I did. I tuned in on man and I listened to the whole service. I listened to the music. I listened to the preaching. I listened to that. Because I understand that there is a spiritual concept that is happening. It's more than just me being faithful or me being in attendance to the service. And so I just want to say this as well here tonight. And you know what? If there are those that are on band that are listening, I'm not speaking to them, you know, anybody personally. But for all of those that said we're going to tune in on band, I pray that you are. I pray that you are. And I'll just tell you that as an administrator of band, I can see who's on and who's not on. So, you know, I can see, you know, I can see people that have visited every post. You know, I don't know if you can see or not that 13 people have visited it or 18 people have visited it. And if you can, that's great. But I can see who the 18 are. And then not only that, as the service is going on live, I can click on there and I can see who's listening to it live. I can check and see who's listening to it live. So I know who's listening and who's not listening live. And so, you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that technology is the way that it is, but we don't have bands so that we can stay home. We're living too close to the last days of time. Amen. And we have got to do everything we can. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that the devil is working overtime to try to destroy us. He knows he has but a few days to deceive you, to get you to backslide. You cannot afford to backslide. Because you don't know if you've got time to get back. I mean, we just saw such a beautiful, beautiful conversion that last year, Sister Kenda came in and prayed back through to the Holy Ghost. And in less than 1 year, God called her number. And that's a beautiful thing that God would do that. And I know that the mercies of God are renewed upon us every morning, but how many other backsliders never made it back? You don't have time to go out there and to fool around in the world. And you think to yourself, well, you know what? I'm just going to go do my thing, and I'm going to get what I want. And then as soon as I get what I want, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get in church. That's what the fish said when he bit my hook. And he did not get what he wanted, because I set the hook and I reeled him in. And I kept the line real nice and tight as I took my net and I dipped him out of the water. Amen. I know somebody that preached a long time ago said, when you get to where you're going, are you going to want to be where you are? When you get what you wanted, are you going to want what you got? And the answer typically is no. And the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God, I don't have all of this in order here tonight, but the Word of God teaches us that the Scriptures, he said in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he said, but continue. Continue. You got to start somewhere. But you cannot stop the things that got you to this point. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, continue. Continue. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. For 20-something years, you've had a man of God that has stood up here behind this desk and has taught you. Amen. And the Word of God says that you don't stop doing those things because that the changing of the guard happens, but that you continue in those things as you have been assured of. Amen. Elder Worth has stood behind this desk and has labored, and he has taught you things. And he said, if you will do these things, you shall be saved. If you will do these things, you shall be okay. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're not learning new arithmetic. This isn't new math. Amen. We're not learning new math. We're not learning new English. We're continuing in the Word of God. He said, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible is able to make you wise unto salvation. He said that he is able to make you wise unto salvation. It doesn't mean that just because you carry around a Bible that you're wise. It doesn't mean that just because you come to church all the time that you're wise. The Scriptures being able to make you wise unto salvation would be more like unto the wise man that built his house upon the rock. Amen. And likened unto him that heard it and that did the Word of God. Amen. And so we've heard enough preaching to save the entire county. Amen. Probably we've heard enough preaching. I know we've heard enough preaching to save the entire state of Kansas. Amen. But just preaching the Word of God doesn't save anybody. Somewhere or another, you've got to hear the Word of God, and then you've got to do the Word of God. And then you've got to continue in the Word of God. You don't ever get to the place that you're mature enough that all of a sudden you don't have to do these things anymore. Well, you know what? I've got 30 years behind me in living for God, and so it's okay. I don't have to do all of these things anymore. I want you to know that I've had the Holy Ghost for over 30 years, and everything that's in this Word of God is still good for me today. And if I stop doing it, I stand the chance of being lost just as anybody that's only had the Holy Ghost for a week.
Amen. Praise God. You got to continue to do these things. That's why I like, amen, and the message that we heard on Sunday morning concerning the definition of the church. Amen. We're not changing up. Just because that the world is allowing sin and changing up and can take salvation callously and such casualness, we're not changing up. You still got to repent. And when you repent of your sins, that means you got to quit sinning. You don't repent of sin and then go drink. You can't, oh gee, I feel like pastoring here tonight. When you knowing to do better than what you're doing, amen, and to do, amen, Jesus, Paul wrote and he said, amen, to the man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And when you know that you ought not to be doing the things that you're doing, you're held accountable for that. Don't tell me that you can repent, amen, and then go continue to do those things. You're not getting forgiven because you're not repenting. Because godly sorrow worketh unto repentance, not to be repented of. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We still preach against a lot of things. Why? Because we're continuing in these things. We still preach against going to the movie theaters. Amen. Because it's not godly. Amen. You're not going to go see anything that is godly. There's nothing godly on television. Amen. We don't bring in a television in our house and then pick and choose what we're going to watch and what we're not going to watch. Amen. That's not right. You say, well, it's godly. I'm watching Christian things. What about those commercials? Well, I don't watch commercials. I don't do that. I just got Netflix, and I just pick and choose what I'm going to watch on Netflix. It's full of sin and hypocrisy. The Bible teaches, I just feel like pastoring here tonight. The Bible teaches us that if a woman wear that which pertaineth unto a man, it is an abomination unto the Lord. And that if a man weareth that which pertaineth unto a woman, it is an abomination unto the Lord. So you tell me how godly, amen, these shows are and these movies are when they've got men that are parading around in dresses or women that are parading around in pants. That's an abomination unto the Lord. And Romans chapter number 1, he said, not only are these that do those things, but those that take entertainment in those things. You can say, well, I believe that that's wrong, but if you're watching it, it's wrong. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? Go ahead, sit down. You're making me nervous. You know what? We've got to hear these things again and again, and I'll show you this. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3, he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. That's why we've got to hear preaching time and time again about water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's not grievous for me to talk to you about, but it's safe for you. Why? Because there's coming a time when people are going to say, baptism doesn't even matter. Baptism is an outward confession of an inward expression. And if you don't want to be baptized, you don't have to be baptized. If that's what the Word of God says, then that's what we'll believe. But if not, then that's what we cannot believe. We cannot believe that. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 21. 20 and 21. The good elder had it read on Sunday night that said, baptism in this day doth also now save us. Mark chapter number 16, we heard it Sunday night. And 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Praise God. John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you're not, you're lost. Hey, I cannot change the building code. I don't have the authority to change the building code. The master builder put it together, and he knows what it's going to take to get you through the world and the storms and the tempest winds that this world has got upon us in this day and age. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a difference. There is a difference. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit gives the utterance, there is a difference. And you will know there is a difference. It'll be unlike anything that you've ever experienced, anything that you've ever tasted. You may have been baptized in the name of Allah and Buddha and Muhammad and Father and Son and Holy Ghost, but when you got baptized in Jesus' name and you came up out of the water, you thought to yourself, I don't exactly understand it, but there is a difference. And then when you begin to face all of hell, you go stand upon that rock, that firm foundation. And you say, you know what? You've come too late to tell me that it doesn't matter, because I experienced it. I felt the difference. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I have no idea where I'm at. I'm just preaching. But you know what? Preaching is what's going to save you. That's what's going to save you. I've already told you I love preaching series, but series, as long as they're of God, they're going to save us. I understand they're right, but are they for the right time? And so situations like this, and I just feel the urgency just to, as I'm praying up here on Tuesday night, and I feel that. I didn't even got to what I feel. But, you know, just going through this and just feel, you know what, this is tomorrow. I got to study this out. I got to prepare for this. Oh, I know I can preach on prayer. I've got it all figured out. I've got it all. I know I've got it. The next lesson, I've got it almost done. But it's not done because I didn't work on it, because I worked on this. So we hear about this, and it matters. It matters. It's not just life and death, it's heaven and hell. And it's not left up to our opinions. It's not my opinion. I'm not trying to be crass. But we do know that there was a time that Jesus walked into the temple and he threw out the money changers. In other words, he was a little bit heated. And there was a time that Jeremiah pulled all of his hair out. And we won't talk about Isaiah. But why does the man of God get so uptight and so? It's because this is heaven or hell. It really, really is. You know, and some of you got children that you need to, Lord have mercy. I was mowing my grass Tuesday, mowing my grass, and I just thinking on the Lord, just mowing my grass and such, and some old thought came to my mind and said, you know, parents, we need to do more than teach by word. We need to teach by example. And so there's some things that you can tell your kids to do and how that they should live for God. But I promise you, they ain't going to do it if they don't see you doing it. And it matters. It matters. Your children are going to know what's important to you because they see what goes on behind closed doors. It matters. You cannot be frivolous about living for God. You've got to be intent. If you are going to be saved, it's because you intended and purposed to be saved. In other words, you did everything that you knew you needed to do, amen, and purposely went for it. You're not going to wake up in heaven one day and say, wow, how did I ever get here? The Bible says it's not a place that the fool is just going to blunder therein. When you make it to heaven and you stand upon streets of gold, you're going to turn around and you're going to say, everything was worth it. Everything, every what? Everything that I did. Being baptized in Jesus' name, getting the Holy Ghost, living right, stop running around with all of my friends and worldly connections and all of that, separated myself. Amen. You know what? I have lost friends because of the Word. I have lost all kinds of, you know what? But you know what? When we all get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, it's going to be worth every long mile, every heartache. It's going to be worth it all. Praise God. All right, so now let's move on. I got 30 minutes. And a half a bottle of water. So now in James, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's what Paul said. Paul said, separate yourself from that. Separate yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh. Separate yourself and all superfluity of naughtiness. Don't be associated with it. Separate yourself from that. He said, what light hath fellowship with darkness? You can't do it. You can't do it. It's a heaven or hell issue. And for the man to think that he can do it is like the foolish man building his house upon the sand. He said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, there's a mouthful right there. I'm talking about just receiving with meekness. Oh, there are some people, they hear the word of God, they get so bowed up in their spirit. He said, receive it with meekness. I'm just going to tell you right now that when the word of God begins to offend you, you've got problems. You know, I've always heard this saying, and I know, Brother Wirtz, you've heard it so many times too. You've heard this saying, people that come up to you, and they really, really mean it. They really do. They really do at this point in time. They do. And they shake your hand, and they look you eyeball to eyeball, and they say, Pastor, if you ever see me doing something that I shouldn't be doing, if you ever see me going astray, please come tell me. You have voice in my life. Please come tell me and let me know so I can change. I can't tell you the number that have told me that. Brother Wirtz, could you count them? No. They're backslid today, he said. You know why? Because when we came to them, and we said, hey, brother, hey, sister, you remember when you told me that if I ever saw, and the deer in the headlight look, well, I have something I want to talk to you about. And that spirit bows up. And they get bent out of shape, and they become stiff-necked and rebellious. You know why? It's because they don't have that same meek spirit that they had when they said, Pastor, if you ever see. But now they've gone off, and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and now the pastor's seeing, and he's coming back to them, and he's saying, hey, you don't need to be doing that. And you get upset, and you get mad. I'm going to do what I want to do. and they don't make it. Because that meek spirit is not there any longer. When sin gets a hold of your life, it changes your countenance, your character, your belief system. And it doesn't have to be a full tree. It just be a little thing. But Jesus said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, that word engrafted indicates something sown, rooted, or implanted. James saw the word of God as a living plant taking hold of the believer's life and changing his behavior. I worked on a ranch for several years, and we did some grafting. And I don't remember what the trees were. I know we grafted several different fruit trees that we had. We grafted them. And we'd cut one branch, and we would split it, and we'd cut another branch off of another tree, and we'd whittle it down to like a wedge, and then we would take that wedge, and we would push it down into that split of the other branch, and then we would wrap it with grafting tape. That wasn't duct tape. It was grafting tape, special tape. And then when that graft, and some of them took and some of them didn't take, but when that graft took, then as life produced through that tree, and whether it was a peach and a apricot or whatever it was that we grafted together, that the fruit that produced out there was not what the tree was. So if the tree was a peach tree, then the life that pushed through that graft and grew that graft together, the fruit on the end was not a peach. It had the flavor of a peach, but it was something else. It was grafted. That's why I believe it's nectars. I could be totally wrong, but I think a nectarine is a grafted fruit. You cannot take, I don't believe you can take a nectarine seed and plant it and get a nectarine. It's a grafted. You graft two fruits. In California, where we lived, they had black walnuts and white walnuts, and they grafted them together to create a walnut. And it's because they wanted the fruit of one of the walnuts, but they needed the adaptation of weather of the other one. And so they grew it, and then they grafted it together so that one could take the intense heat, but the other one would produce the more flavorful fruit. So it produced, and that's what James said. We've got to have the engrafted word of God. Why? Because you by nature just don't do all of these things. Now Paul did talk in the book of Romans chapter number 2. He talked about the Gentiles. And he talked about the Jews, and he said, you know, here are these Jews, and they got to be told every living thing. He said, but you know, even the Gentiles do those things which are not according to the Gentiles don't do the things which are according to the law. In other words, there's just some things that are common sense. Even the Gentiles have got this figured out. Jews, why do you need every little letter? I'm telling you right now, I don't have time to preach everything that I feel right now. When you live by the letter of the law, you're going to die by the letter of the law. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. You hear me tonight. I'm going to tell you why. If you live by the letter of the law, you're going to die by the letter of the law. The Jews are a prime example of this. Anybody worked with the old computers? You know, I had computer literacy back when I was in eighth grade. Anybody remember those statements, if then? If such and such is such, such is this, then this. They use them a lot now, like in Microsoft Excel stuff, you know, if then statements and stuff and everything. And that's what the Jews had to do. They had this law. And you know what they had? They had 10. 10. But because that they lived the letter of the law and didn't understand the purpose of the law, They wound up with near 700 at one particular time. 700 if-then statements. And I read a Jewish commentary one time, and he said that just in Sabbath, you know, that one commandment, keep the Sabbath. It's pretty easy to remember that, right? Keep the Sabbath. No, because you got all these Jews and says, well, what does all of that mean? I mean, what can I do and what can I not do? What do I have to do and what can I get away with? What am I going to be guilty of and what can I be innocent of? Well, I don't know. What is it? Jesus said, keep the Sabbath. He said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for him so he could rest. No, the Jews is like, I want to know. I just want to know every little detail, every you know, dot the I and cross the T, just do everything. I want to know it all. Keep the Sabbath. Well, what does all of that entail? What does that mean? Tell me what I can do and what I can't do. Say, okay, well, I don't remember the exact distance. They said on the Sabbath day, they had to say, okay, well, I mean, if it's a Sabbath day, can I go to Wichita? No. Because on the Sabbath day, you can only go 15 feet from any direction from your tent. They made that law. You can only go so far in any direction from your tent. So I can go 15 feet this way, and I can go 15 feet that way, and I got 30 feet from there. What happens if I go 15 foot 1 inch? And it became an if-then statement. And it just goes on and on and on. And so they made a law even that says that they were not to mix, I don't remember exactly what it was, something like honey and milk. You know, it's like the different twines and stuff. You weren't to mix, you know, these different cloths and these different twines and stuff like that. Well, somebody had, I want to say it was honey. I know it was milk. But there were certain things that you couldn't mix and say, okay, how much honey can I not mix in the milk? Instead of just saying, no, you can't mix it. Well, I mean, what if I accidentally spilt 3 drops in it? Well, if you accidentally spill 3 drops in it, then you can still eat it or drink it or cook with it. But if it's not an accident, you cannot just purposely put it in there. It just became a bunch of if-thens. One of their Sabbath laws was that on the Sabbath day, that if you had an itch, you could not scratch it. Because if it was a flea, literally, if it was a flea, you were guilty of hunting on the Sabbath day. That is literal. That was one of the laws of Sabbath. I read that and I thought, this is crazy. But you know what? That's where a lot of Pentecostals have gone. I don't care if they're conservative or liberal or moderate. But you got all these people that have got the little book. What can I and what can I not? Say, well, I didn't hear that I could, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't see in the law where it says that I can't do that. And I'm not going to go ask permission for it just in case. It's because that's the way that you want to live. And some of this stuff is common sense. There's just some things we just don't do. And you say, well, I don't see it in the Bible where it says thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. I don't see in the Bible where it says thou shalt not snort cocaine either. But do we snort cocaine? No. Because there's some things that's just common sense. We've got principle for it. And we also have scripture that says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And he that destroys the body or destroys the temple, that the Lord would also destroy that individual. That's just simple. Say, well, what's destruction? I think marijuana is destruction, but camels ain't destruction. Well, you know what? I mean, I understand smoking, but vaping is okay. You know, there's one spot in the Bible that it just simply said, let not your good be evil spoken of. Another spot in the Bible, he just simply said, what light has fellowship with darkness? Another spot in the Bible, he said, provide not provision for the flesh. Another spot in the Bible, he's just simply said, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Well, what is evil? Well, I mean, what is provision for the flesh? Well, you know what? We can sit down and we can make a library of laws. Or we can all just love Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, knowing that we got one chance to make heaven our home. That's the way we need to be. Why does it need to be? Well, I haven't heard the pastor preach against that, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that. Well, let me just tell you. You know, there's a lot of things that you might not hear me preach about. But that doesn't justify it. Some things are just common sense. I got to hurry. And so he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word. It's not common. You know why? Because you are carnal. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I am carnal. You are carnal. I am carnal. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's the enemy of God. It wars against the things of God. And here's that little angel sitting on one side. He's saying, you really don't need to be doing this. And there's that little devil angel over there and says, oh, no, it'll be okay. You got this. You can handle it. You are perfectly fine. And that little angel on the other side, he's saying, I wouldn't do that if I was you. It's not going to turn out good and stuff like that. And you're like, shut up. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Let me just tell you like this. When you get to the point that you have to say, you know what, I can handle this, that's probably not a good sign. Did you hear me? Well, you know what, I can handle this. That's not a good sign. If you get to the place that you say, you know what, I think I can handle this, you need to turn around and run the other way. Because that's the devil lying to you, telling you, you got this. You don't have it. He's got you where he wants you. And when he's got you all tied in, he's going to jerk the rug out from under you. And the house upon the sand fell flat. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in the mirror. and behold, or in other words, looking at himself, he just goes his own way and forgets what manner of man that he was. Oh, man, my hair is all messed up and stuff. Eh. That is not Marcus. I ain't going out looking like that. Why? How do you know what you look like? Because I looked in the mirror. And that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is a mirror. And when you look into that Word of God and you say, ooh, I don't look very good according to that scripture, but I'll be okay. That's God trying to warn you. That's God telling you, hey, hello, you need to look. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's this. And he said, oh, y'all live in bondage. That's not what the Word of God says. This says liberty. The perfect law of liberty. I don't have to blow my whole check on drugs, alcohol, worldliness, all of those other things. I don't have to do all of that. The drug addict says, I don't have to either. Oh, really? That's why your kids are hungry and crying and screaming. That's why your marriage is busted up. That's why you've got a record, a police record. That's why you feel like the police are always following you around, because you're so innocent. You don't know what you've done. No, you're bound. You're bound up. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I'll just tell you, you've heard me say it before. I smoked as many cigarettes as I wanted to smoke today. I looked at as much pornography as I wanted to look at today. Drank as much alcohol as I wanted to drink today. I did everything that I wanted to do today. I didn't drink any alcohol, didn't look at any pornography, didn't smoke any cigarettes. I didn't do anything like that. Everything that I did was wholesome, godly, and right. And you know what? Nobody made me do that. Nobody even made me come to church tonight. No, if I didn't want to come to church, I didn't have to come to church. I could have gotten my car and went to Alabama if I wanted to. I don't know who's in Alabama, but I could have went. Because I'm living in liberty. He that the Son is set free is free indeed. I'm free. I'm free from sin, and I'm free to do what I want to do. I choose to live this way. All right? Looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth. There is that word continue again. If it was wrong back then, it's still wrong today. If it was wrong for you a year to 2 years ago, it's still wrong for you today. Continuing therein. That continue therein. But continue in the things which you have learned. He that continueth, amen, in this way, amen, looking into the perfect law of liberty and continue and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. There's my text again. And they say that if you don't ever come back around to the text, you can take a text, but if you don't ever come around to the text, it's just pretext and not content. So we're back to content now because I come back around to the text. All right, so it's not just a pretext. Continuing, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, the man shall be blessed in his deed. We got to keep continuing. We got to continue. We cannot afford to stop. We cannot afford to change up. This apostolic way has gotten so many people to heaven. It doesn't need help. It doesn't need adapting. It doesn't need to change so that it fits this generation. As a matter of fact, Paul told us not to be conformed to this generation. This generation. Praise the Lord. It's getting close to the magic hour and I'm feeling wound up again. Somebody pulled my string again. I thought I was winding down, but somebody pulled the lawnmower string again. It cranked back up. We don't need to conform to this generation. That's what Paul said. Amen. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. You're going to have some things renewed in your mind. You're not thinking properly. Amen. Somebody said, that's stinking thinking. Yeah, that's not thinking right. You don't have time to not think right. You don't have time to get messed up in your thinking. You need to be renewed in your thinking. And you don't need to be conformed to this world. That word, this. Now, if Paul was just talking about his world, why do I need Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 in my life today? It's not just for Paul's world. It was that is an ever-inclusive tense. This world, and it means Paul's world, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, all the way into 20 and 22. It's good for us today that we ought not to be conformed here in this world. We ought not to be conformed to this world. This world. We don't take on the identity of this world. We don't need to look like the world. We don't need to dress like the world and get so close to looking like the world by still trying to obtain our apostolic identity. Don't be conformed to this world. What is this world's mold? Jesus, somebody better let go of that second lever so I'll shut off. Lady in Indiana, the pastor got to preaching so long, elderly lady sitting back there on the back row, and she turned around. She was kind of hard of hearing and stuff. She turned around, she told her neighbor, she said, would somebody tell him to ring off? In other words, it was time to quit. Maybe somebody's going to tell me to ring off. We don't need to be conformed. What is this world? What is this world? Ooh, Jesus, help me tonight, God. We don't need to be conformed to this world's music. Sometimes the only thing that you can tell the difference in the music, and you're thinking to myself, my God, what are they listening to? Oh, it's Christian because it says God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If it's not born of the Spirit, I'm just telling you right now, read my lips. That was George Bush's famous word. Read my lips. I'm not going to tell you no new taxes. I'm going to tell it to you like this. Kanye West rap is not godly. He is one of the most unwholesome, perverted individuals. I don't care. They're not godly. I don't care that it says God or whatever. It's just trying to get you comfortable with the things of the world. So he said, be not conformed to this world. My Jesus, help me. I'm on overtime. Doesn't overtime pay more? It's supposed to. You know, when I was coming up, I just saw this just the other day. But when I was coming up in church, amen, our pastor preached against, Striper, some of those other rock groups and stuff. I don't even remember what they was, but and they not only preached against Striper and stuff. I just heard that Striper was coming to Wichita at some point in time, so don't be going to no Striper concert. Amen. Because I saw the pictures, and I mean, these men have got hair down to the middle of their back. They don't have shirts on and stuff. Tell me what part of that is godly. There ain't anything godly about it. Our pastor told us, he said, you don't listen to Strapper. I wish there was another one that he told us that we couldn't listen to either. He said, you don't listen to this. He even told us we couldn't listen to Carruthers and Company. Carruthers and Company, I'm telling you that's soft stuff here today. And we used to call Carruthers and Company Corruption and Company. And they sang The Eye of the Tiger, and that just had a worldly beat to it. He's got the eye of the tiger. It's a fire. We're storming the gates of hell, and heaven will prevail. And heaven will prevail. That's just devilish. You know, yeah, I could stand up here and I could make a lot of laws. And you know what you'd do? You'd push those laws. Well, he said that I could do this, but what about this? Somewhere or another, we got to get beyond all of that and understand that there is an urgency, that the devil is going to do whatever he can. Whatever he can to entice you, just to get you to change your look. You got to stay focused. So you know why I don't stand up here and say, you can listen to this, but you can't listen to this. And you can listen to this, but you can't listen to this. And you don't need to listen to this, and you don't need to listen to this. There's a couple of reasons why. I have graduated past Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Mighty proud of myself. But you know what? There was a day that if you was beyond Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, you were just wrong. Brother Tom laughs. And I understand you don't like everything I like, and I don't like everything you like. But we need to do our best to keep it godly. Keep it right. Godliness. Godliness. Let's stand here tonight. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, just simply means this. At some point in time, you've got to get beyond just hearing, and you're going to have to start applying to your life. I could preach for 52 weeks about a tabernacle in the wilderness, and we can learn a whole lot and never gain anything, because it's got to be more than just hearing. Somewhere or another, we've got to become doers. I can preach for 15 to 20 weeks on prayer. And I'll just tell you right now that as we begin to plod our way through praying through the tabernacle, that's not a perfect type. All right? So don't ever go quote and say, it's not a perfect type. The perfect type is Christ. Everything represented Christ. But we're not out of order talking about praying into it, because the ultimate goal was to get into the presence of God. And getting into the presence of God was cleansing and washing and preparing to get into there. And so I think it's right, it's proper. It's applicable, but it's not the perfect type. The tabernacle wasn't there just to show us prayer or just to show us how to get into. No, That altar of sacrifice represented Christ. That laver of water represented Christ. That tabernacle represented Christ. The walls represented Christ. The curtains represented Christ. Everything in there, every part of it all represented Christ. The dirt floor represented Christ's humanity. The boards represented the flesh. The gold overlaying it was pureness and holiness in Christ. Everything represented Jesus Christ. And so we can teach and we can talk about prayer. But somewhere or another, we can't be just a forgetful here. Oh, yeah, he did talk about that last Wednesday. No, it was the Wednesday before. Last Wednesday, Brother Gross was here. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Somewhere or another, we've got to be a diligent doer. In other words, we've got to put forth the effort. We've got to do it. You know what you need to do to be saved. You know everything that you need to do to be saved. You've repented, you've been baptized, you've received the Holy Ghost. And that's just to get you going. You know that you need to be holy. You need to live godly and right. You need to separate yourself. You know all of these things. But Paul says, I still have to come back and tell you again. Why? Because we're carnal. And it's safe for us to hear it again and again. That's what's going to keep you in church. Don't be offended. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Are you mad and upset with me because I preach the Bible to you? It's my responsibility, my job, to try to get you to heaven. And you may not understand some of the things that I say, and maybe the intensity. But as the watchman of the soul standing upon the wall, I see the enemy as he's lurking in the grass, sneaking up to you. Here a little and there a little. And so I stand on the wall and I sound the trumpet urgently. And I said, hey, you need to pay attention. You need to do something. You need to beware. You need to beware. And it's up to you to change from a hearer to doer so that you can be classified as the wise man. Hallelujah. Would you just bow your head here tonight and just pray? I know the time is growing late, but if you were at home, you'd be reading a book. You'd be playing a game. But today your soul is in the balance. What's more important? What's more important? Would you just take, as I have preached here tonight, there have been situations that have come to your mind. Would you just talk to the Lord about those right now? Would you ask God to help you with those? And you know what? There's some things that God will help you with, but He's not going to force you to do it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to pull the plug. You're going to have to make the decision. You're going to have to do the deed. You're going to have to take the step. You're going to have to make the change. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. God's not going to do it for you. You've got to do it. And so today I'm teaching you and talking to you about the forgetful hearers. That you've heard the word of God and you just walk out of Wednesday night Bible study and just continue in your own ways? Or are you going to be a diligent doer and say, all right, I'm going to change some things up tonight. I'm not being hard. I'm not being crass. That's so far from me tonight. I'm not one that's going to set the law so tight that we have 10,000 laws. No, somewhere we got to get it in our heart. We got to get it in our heart. A law needs a law to be strong. We just got to get it in our heart. I'm just going to live it this way. And God, these things are detrimental. I'm going to let go of them. I'm going to turn loose of them. I'm going to walk away from them. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And God, I might be able to be saved doing this, but Lord, I'm not going to chance it. I cannot chance it. I've got to do it. I've got to be right. I've got to be sure. I've got to be sure. Hallelujah.